Not only were you chosen by God to take of this sacrament and to declare before others that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but you are created for more. And that's the title of today's message. And I know some of you that have been here are going, you've used that title for like 3 weeks in a row now. Well, that's because I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to hear something more than once to understand it, to get it. And in reality, this is kind of a, not kind of, it's a study through 2 Peter. As he is writing this letter, just trying to let the people understand that we're going to receive his letter, that you are created for much more. You are not just saved from your sins, you are created for more. Because that's what God's plans are for you. So, loving Heavenly Father, before we get started in this, in the words that come from your book, let us settle in our hearts and our minds this morning that these are your words that you would desire to speak to us. And if they are your words that you want to speak to us, then Lord, we would be wise in hiding every one of them into our hearts and cherishing them, listening to the meanings and really searching out, are these things that I believe in? And if not, why not? Holy Spirit, be at work. Because you inspired these words, so also empower them this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, created for more, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 today. Kind of a short passage, but there is so much in here. Read it with me if you would. It's inside of your bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, please ask for one. 1 Peter 1, verses 10, 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the kingdom of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. This week in the National Football League, there are, well, it's going to go with my sermon, so just roll with me here for a minute. There are more players on the teams than are legal to have for the rest of the season. Some of those players are going to be cut or traded. Not because they're not good athletes, not because they don't have abilities, but just because there's an elite group that the coaches feel like that they can go on with to earn the prize. That wonderful NFL trophy at the end of the year when they take the Super Bowl. Now, you can imagine there are many teams throughout this country that are trying to amass together their troops, their team, with all their specialty players to carry forth this great prize to gain for them the renown of being the world champions. Likewise, you are chosen to serve on God's team. You are chosen to serve on God's team. You have been drafted. But we have a burden on our part. Just as these players, I mean, coaches go out, they recruit these people, they see what their different strengths and abilities are, and they go to them and they woo them to come and play for their team. Well, guess what? The same thing happens with God. But it's not just for an NFL trophy. It's for trophies that are kept up in heaven for you. Are you going to be a gifted player for God? Because honestly, he doesn't recruit you to be a bench warmer. Was that just a punch in your face or what? God doesn't recruit bench warmers. He recruits people to be about his business. And his business is about redeeming lives in this world. People who are otherwise drawn to just be a part of this world instead of being a part of his kingdom. But you have been chosen to be a part of God's holy kingdom. A holy kingdom. Not one with, okay, I can carry in a little bit of dirt in my pockets. No, you can't. He's calling for his bride, for his players, to be pure and holy and spotless. And he doesn't ever call you to do something that he doesn't also give you the ability to accomplish it. Our God is not a God who wants to frustrate you in your walk. And although he has provided it all, there is something required on our end of the bargain. You see, we can't just call out, well, the grace of God is just on me, and so I can just go out and live however I choose to live. That's wrong. That's a wrong mentality. I have to now live and make more diligent, certain about his calling and his choosing me. Now, no one knows you like God. Nobody. I don't know you. The people standing or sitting around you don't know you as well as God knows you. And you know what the good news is? He still loves you. Yeah, as messed up as you are, because I guarantee you there is not one perfect person in this room. I want you to understand that. You didn't come to church today with a bunch of perfect people. You came to church with a bunch of sinners. People who have had and made bad choices in their life. And they've fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is, God has erased your sins. As long as you stay close and connected with him, you are going to walk in the power of everything that he has for you if you will be diligent and make certain about his calling and choosing you. Because up to now, I don't think God has ever made a mistake. So if you have heard his voice, if you have been told the story about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins, you have believed in it, and you have taken this book and said, you know what, this is my basic instructions before leaving this life, this earth, and I'm going to employ the truth of this word into how I live my life, then guess what? You are well on your way. Now, don't get the false thought. In fact, I love this quote from a very wise pastor that I read. This guy was like back in the 1800s. I think it was 1855, actually, that this quote comes from. That there is no climbing a smooth mountain. There is no climbing of a smooth mountain. Why? Because there aren't any handholds. There aren't any place for your feet to grasp a hold of. Every mountain will have its points of danger. There'll be points where it'll be a struggle to get past this point. But we do it for what reason? And you're all going, well, I don't know, because I've never wanted to be a mountain climber. Those people are crazy as far as I'm concerned. And I would agree with you. However, there's this thing called heaven that we are all climbing toward. And life is about making advances up that mountain. If you'll notice something about Ephesians chapter 6, it's where we get the whole armor of God, the spiritual armor of God. And if you will notice, every one of those pieces of armor are for the front side. Because you're supposed to march forward with God. If you turn around and you retreat and go back into who you thought you were, there's no protection from God anymore. But if I put on the spiritual armor of God, I am instructed to walk forward, to walk onward and upward. Now, there are going to be times in that mountain climb when, you know what? It's easy breezy. I'm up on the crown of this mountain, but I'm looking ahead of me and I'm going, oh, wow, but there's a big peak coming. So let me get my breath during this time, because I know there's going to be a struggle ahead. Jesus taught about it. He said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. However, let me be your Sherpa. Let me be your guide, because I've overcome this world. Oof. For as long as you practice these things, now, the first word, therefore, refers back to what we had just spoken about. And so, for those of you who were not here last week, you need to go back through 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, and see what it is that you are to add to your faith. Faith is believing that God has done what God said he would do to bring us into right relationship with him. But to our faith, we must add things. That was the created for more last week, is that you must add to your life more than just faith. Yes, faith will get you in the doors, but folks, I got to be honest with you, I don't want a whole lot of bodies taking up the entryway to heaven. People that just fall in because they have faith. I want to be part of the crowd that not only enters heaven victoriously, but we go running to, God, where are all those treasures that you have hidden for us up here? All those rewards that you said would be ours. I mean, yes, the reward of heaven, dilly-dilly. But those crowns that you've put into your own, or those jewels that you put into your own crown by the things that you do and the way that you represent God to others here in this life. That's what life and being on God's team is all about. It's not just so that you have salvation and okay, we'll call it good, we're done. No, it's so that you have salvation and now you move forward to even more of what God has for you. Comprende? For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be what? Will be abundantly supplied to you. So, understand God's desires. Point number one, understand God's desires. And here they are. Let's read them. For all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. You see, that's God's desire, isn't it? For all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. If I asked each and every one of you in this room how you came about being saved and how you came about a knowledge of the truth, 99.9% of you will say it's because another person told me, showed me. You see, the whole message of God, the whole work of God is you and I declaring the message to others. We are that conveyance. We are his hands and feet. We are his ambassadors, as Paul wrote, as if we were representing God to this world. So if we're not representing God in this world, then what are we representing? My mentee, who is here with us today and who I have celebrated his 1 year of sobriety last month. And he and I have been mentoring, and one of the passages that we went over in the book this week was, when people go away from being in your company, do they go away with, wow, I was just in the presence of a child of God? Or do they go away with the impression of, wow, that guy sure is rich. Wow, that guy sure has it all together. Man, he's got the hottest bike on the road. He's got a great home. Man, that guy has a way with women. That girl has a way with catching guys. What do they go away with? What's their impression when they meet you? What impression are you trying to give them? Are you trying to show them the Jesus that you know? It's amazing because we all leave an impression on people. In fact, I had a person walk up to me this morning and go looking at me and go, wow, Pastor, mountain man. Yep, and I belong to Mountain Valley Church of God. So God's desires is for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Every one of us were saved and came to a knowledge of the truth because someone else dared to share about Jesus. And then the second part is what? Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. How can they come to repentance? How can they come to that place where they say, you know what? The way I'm living, the way I'm going, it ain't right according to God's word. Now, that doesn't mean that we run out and we start condemning everybody that's doing everything wrong. No. You attract more bees by what? By the honey. By the sugar. Not by going out and condemning them to death. And yet, that's exactly what our churches do so much of the time. We go around condemning this group, condemning that group, condemning this person, condemning that person, when in reality, our condemnation is keeping them from acknowledging or coming to a knowledge of God Almighty. So let's put ourselves down, and let's present Jesus Christ instead. Because as far as I heard, God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that all who would believe in him would have eternal life. They would not perish. But how can they have eternal life? How will they not perish if we are just so up about ourselves that we have to put the other one down? Or that we've got to somehow judge another person? That's not what God's asked us to do, folks. It's not his game plan. His game plan is to build his kingdom. And his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's one that's marching on. So we understand what God's desires are. However, it matters what man elects to do. Oh, that's right. That's right. You've got a choice as to what you're going to do. If you're going to choose after the things of God and what you understand about him, or you're going to choose to do your ways. And here we go. Those who live according to the sinful nature, their flesh, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance or in agreement with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now, the mind of sinful man is death. Paul just wanted to let you know that right away. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Boy, don't you see that when you try to present the truth of God? Oh, no, I don't want to believe in that word. I don't want to believe in that God. You know, how can a God, allow things to happen in this world that man is doing onto each other? Well, guess what? None of us are little robots programmed by God. We are all given that choice to make choices. And some people just make some stinky choices. Amen? I did for a while. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, which is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And then to love others as you love yourself, right? Nor can it do so, because those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So, as you are called into God's team to join his team, what do you have to put away? You have to put away your flesh and what your desires are, and instead walk according to the Spirit of God. So, here's the good news from Paul. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. But there's a caveat. Here are the caveats. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So it's more than just embracing Christ on the cross. It's more than just embracing God as your Father. You've also got to embrace the Holy Spirit living in you and being the one who's in control of you, no longer your fleshly desires, but rather, what would God desire I do? And I'm so happy to see so many of you chose to bring glory and honor to God by choosing to be here today. You see, this makes God happy. That you join together, that you come in and worship with other people. Where else in this world can you gather together a bunch of believers and sing praise and songs unto God, watch some wacky kids, take the Blessed Communion together, and know that when you do that and you see others doing it, hey, that's my brother, that's my sister. In Christ. Wow. See, I can't do that alone at home. Can you? No. But you can here in the house of God. And that's why you've made the better decision today. And God will reward you for making that good decision. So if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, did you do any of that? Absolutely not. All that came because you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not, did I enter the right church today? Well, today you did. Just playing. But you're hearing the truth of God's word. And let it penetrate deep down into your heart and your mind. That this is what God wants you to know about him. Your body, it's dead because of sin. But your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you,
He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, I love Paul. He always gives you, okay, now that you accept this, here's the plan. Therefore, we have what? We have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to just feed it for whatever it thinks is right, but rather to live, not to the sinful nature to live according to it, for if you live according to the sinful nature, what will happen? Well, wait a minute, Pastor, I've known a lot of people who have died, so have they been living by their sinful nature? No. We know these lives are here for only a certain amount of time. Amen? But our spirit will live with God forever. Yeah, these tents, why do we invest so much money in them? Isn't it crazy? I mean, we dye our hair. I went for the flesh color. We get our nails done. Not. But some do. There is so much that we do according to our sinful nature. We spend so much time and energy keeping this thing up into peak shape. And yet our spirit doesn't get fed at all. We don't give any time to reading God's word. We don't get into that. We don't fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters well because life is so busy. Life. And I know that sounds like, okay, so you're telling me I have to give up all of life outside the life of the church? No, I'm not saying that. But you have to be a part of the fellowship of believers. You have to be a part of that. You know why? Anybody here in the room want to know why? Because God has gifts and abilities that he has put within you that he needs to have in the church to take the church to another level. And so if you are not here and you're not giving of yourself to the betterment of the church, then what is your life really all about? It's just about you. How selfish is that? Jesus didn't come just for him. He came to give himself away. And in the same way, that's the example that we are to follow. We are to give ourselves away to others. And not just be so egocentric minded. It's not just about me, folks. It's about the kingdom of God that I try to represent in my everyday life. And it's what you are called to represent as well. Because, you know, there are going to be a certain amount of people that I am able to reach, that I am able to influence with the word of God. But there are other people out there that Eric's going to be able to reach, that Willie's going to be able to reach, that Martha's going to be able to reach, and Alfredo, Dave, and Shirley. Man, this girl can reach more people in the grocery store than I've ever tried. She's got more pickup lines for guys in the grocery store. No, I love my dear sister. If I don't love you, I don't pick on you. So that way you'll know who I love. Because I'm an equal opportunity picker on her. Bring that weak cribbage game, David. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Romans 8, verses 5 to 14. I didn't make this stuff up, people. You can look in your Bible and you can read these very same things. They just won't be underlined and put in italics like I did.
But this is the Word of God. And please know that you are created for more. You're created for much more than pounding nails into lumber. You're created for more than putting electric wires together. You're created for more than just eating, drinking, sleeping. You're recruited to be on God's team. You're recruited to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? By being an example in your life, in your speech, in your thoughts. That's what we're all called for. We are created for more. Will you embrace that more that you are created for? And stop settling for this level of relationship with God. It's a mountain that we are climbing together with our Sherpa, Jesus Christ. The Lord is my Sherpa. I shall not be in want. And neither will you. It's the craziest ride you could ever go on. And yet it's the most blessed ride you could ever go on as well. In fact, I think it's James that said it the best. He said, "Do you understand that the saving of one life covers many of your sins?" It covers many sins, not just your sins, but the sins of that person as well. When you lead them to the Lord, to knowledge of Him, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Well, Pastor, I'm real shy in talking to other people. Get out of your own way. Stop making excuses before God. If you're acting like you're shy, that you can't tell another person about what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life, think about that. Because I'll bet dimes to donuts. Oh, that's right. I'm claiming a donut right now. I bet dime to donuts right now that if you had someone of this world that walked up to you and handed you $1 million, no catches, no clauses, no, well, if you do this or if you do that, I bet you would be singing the praises of that person that came up and gave you $1 million. Do I got you right? Because we all think that money is going to take care of our stuff. In fact, Mom and I were having an interesting conversation this week about money growing on trees, and Mom made the claim. She goes, "Well, I wish I had one of those trees in my backyard." And I said, "Really?" And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "No, you wouldn't. Because if you had a tree that had money growing on it, you would have to be out there with an AK-47 guarding that tree from all those poachers that would like to just come in and steal from your tree, Mom. But if we would be so excited as to tell others about that person that just walked up and gave us $1 million, why are we not excited about telling others about Jesus Christ who has given us the keys to His kingdom? Come on now. Come on now. Come on. Now. If you've been holding back from God, I'm asking you this morning, get out your way. Get out your way. And let God's way come. Let Yahweh. Ooh, man, that's good. That was. Did you take note of that one? Let Yahweh come into your way. Amen? And then get out your way. We got some people that after service, if this one's punched you in the eyes and you need to get right with God, you need to say, you know what? I have received the greatest gift ever, ever, ever. Sound like T-Swizzle, Taylor Swift. Ever, ever, ever. I've been given this greatest gift ever, ever, ever. And maybe I haven't been doing something with it. Maybe I've just been putting it away in a little locker or something, keeping it safe. And I haven't really been letting others know about the greatest gift I've received. They'll pray for you to receive the boldness to share about Jesus Christ to others. Again, those prayer warriors will be up front. It's not a have-to thing. It's just a convenience that we try to have here. Because it helps when you establish a truth and make a bond with another person hearing it. Because then they can also keep you accountable to that decision that you have made here in this place today. God bless each and every one of you. Loving Heavenly Father, let your word so soak into our hearts and minds this morning that it's like those mosquito bites I've been getting. They're so itchy, Lord. Let the itchiness of your word just pester us until we have to do something about it. Let us bow our knee to the truth of it. And Lord, I truly desire for you to be glorified in and through my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My prayer warriors, would you come forward? And the rest of you, you are released for the day. God bless each and every one of you for being here.